Well, Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Lord God, you sent your Son to take on flesh and blood and to be among us, and we celebrate that reality today and this week and in the days to come. Lord, would you enable by your Spirit that this word we hear today would take on flesh in our lives, and you make us more and more into the likeness of your Son. In whose name we pray, amen. So we are preaching through Mark, and I have to say it was really, really, really tempting to test the rector's patience and go to Isaiah 61, because it is such a powerful, powerful vision of life in the kingdom. And I'm just going to give you a quick Bible study hack. Read Isaiah 61 once a week for, 3 months. And watch how it shows up all through the New Testament, all through the Gospels. Jesus takes that as his mission statement. And so even in our story today, even in these brief 5 verses, Isaiah 61 shows up. You'd be amazed at the way it just pops off the page when you spend a little time with it. So, but we come to the end, finally, of Mark chapter 1. And Jesus has been doing a lot in the Gospel of Mark, right? We've seen John the Baptist's preparation and Jesus' baptism. We've seen Jesus preaching and healing and casting out demons. We've seen Jesus going out in solitary places and praying and being with his Father. We've seen the blueprint already of Jesus' ministry. And so in some ways, Mark could go from here straight to the crucifixion, and you'd have a pretty good idea of what Jesus' ministry looks like and what the ministry of the people of God looks like. But before even doing that, he wants to come back to this healing. Verses 40 through 45. And we've already seen that Jesus heals many, that he has power over disease, that he has power to break the bondage of illness in people's bodies. But why does he come now to a single person being healed? Just one person that comes to Jesus, a leper. And now many of us have heard, lepers were kind of in a unique situation. They were unclean. They had to be separate. They had to be outcast. They couldn't, anything that they touched would be ruined for somebody else. It would have to be washed and sanitized. In some ways, it looks a little bit like some of our own mitigation efforts with this virus. But it wasn't just that, it might be unsanitary. When you're talking about unclean, you're talking about separation from God. The leper could not go to the temple or to the synagogue. The leper could not hear God's word read week after week, as others in the community could. The leper could not go and bring a sacrifice and be reconciled to God, to hear the priest say, "Your sin is atoned for." The leper walked in a living death. Cut off from community, cut off from the rest of Israel, cut off from God. And anything that leper touched would have to go through the same experience. It wasn't just disease that was contagious, it was his very existence, his very uncleanness. And so this leper lives in some ways a very, very courageous way, because he dares to begin to approach Jesus. He lives in death, but he comes to Jesus. He approaches Jesus. You understand that? He's in some ways threatening Jesus by just coming near to him. Because everyone and anything he touches is going to be dead, cut off, separated from God. But the leper comes to him, And he falls to his knees and he says, if you will, if you are willing, you can make me clean. See, the leper has an insight. He has a revelation here that we've not really seen through most of this chapter, this first chapter of Mark. Clearly, John the Baptist understands something about Jesus' identity and mission. And Jesus' first disciples, well, yeah, they follow him without delay even. They get something about it. But this leper, I think, is the one who preaches most clearly in that moment about who Jesus is and what Jesus does. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Because he recognizes in Jesus something that the law and the prophets, something that the temple and its sacrifices, something that nobody else in the community, much less the world, can do for him. Jesus can make him clean. Jesus can restore him. Jesus can make him new. It's not just a healing of the body, but a restoration of his soul, of his relationship with the covenant people of God, with God himself. The leper realizes and knows, because apparently the Spirit of God has told him, that Jesus can change things. And we get this note that Jesus was indignant when he heard this. He was annoyed, like put off by it. It's like, what are you talking about? He says, but he reaches out his hand and he touches the man. He says, I am willing. I will it be clean. Now let's talk about Jesus' indignation. Why would he be so put off? Why would he be so annoyed? But if you were, because for all this insight that this man apparently had, his humility went a little too far. This is Jesus' indignation. Like, why would I not be willing? Why would I not be willing? Jesus is indignant because, like, we pray it as we go to Holy Communion. He's the same God whose character is always to have mercy. The man knew that Jesus had the power, but he hadn't yet learned that Jesus had the love, that Jesus had the care and the will to make him new. Now Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him. Now you understand, we don't know if this man had been a leper for a few months, a few years, or all his life. We have no idea. But it has been a long time since anyone has touched him. But Jesus reaches out and touches him. Jesus, we know, could have spoken a word, could have waved his hand, could have told him, like Naaman all those years ago, go wash in the Jordan. But Jesus touches the man. Before he says a single word, he touches him. He demonstrates his love. I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Folks, this is a stunning reversal. Because until this moment, everything that this man made contact with was unclean, was separated. would need to be cleansed or burned. But now comes someone who, when he touches him, makes him clean, makes him new, restores him. And this is the power, this is the love of God. Because in his society, this leper symbolizes and is just this living reminder of everything that we believe can separate us from God. Everything we're told that we know can separate us from God, that we've been instructed can separate us from God. But here comes one who, when he reaches out and touches the leper, it's not the uncleanness that is contagious here. It is Jesus that is contagious here. Jesus' relationship with God, Jesus' holiness, Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' love is what is contagious here. The love of God reaches out and breaks the power of the uncleanness in the leper. Because he is willing. Because he loves his creation. And because he speaks that word over him, be clean. We live so often, we don't tend to treat people with skin diseases in quite the same way as they did in the first century. But we do live with lepers. We do have people in our communities, in our families, in our culture that we regard as unclean, that we keep our kids away from, that we keep ourselves away from, that we try to maintain some distance. And I don't mean social distancing. I mean that I don't want to be in the same room with them kind of distancing. It might be because of particular sins in their lives. It might be because of substance issues. It might be because of politics. It might be because of views that they hold. It might be, as we've seen so often in our culture, the color of their skin. There are any number of reasons that we decide that we are formed to believe that certain people are unclean, that we need to keep our distance. And what Jesus shows us, though, especially in those things that really are kind of more reflective of our own issues, right? When we decide that certain sins and certain behaviors and whatever it might be are the reason to keep away. When we come to that place, we're forgetting who has been formed in us. We're forgetting who has come and made his dwelling in us. We're forgetting the power of the Spirit of God in us. Brothers and sisters, we have been united with Christ. The sin of the world is not contagious to us. If anything, the world should be scared because the holiness and the righteousness and the goodness and the love of Jesus are what's contagious in us. We have an entire world of people who either are unclean by their own lives, or at least feel unclean because of what's been done to them. It's a world that needs the willingness of Jesus. It's a world that needs the love of Jesus. It's a world that needs the touch of the body of Christ. it's so important, I think. We pass over this detail that Jesus touches him first. We go straight to Jesus' willingness, which is true, it's there. But Jesus sees the need even beyond the leprosy, even beyond the uncleanness. That this man had a need for love, for relationship, for connection. And we've got lonely, disconnected people all around us, among us. And friends, the gospel offers a love that breaks through every bit of that. Breaks through the loneliness. Breaks through the separation. It breaks through the disconnect and offers love and fellowship. And it's life-changing. It's like we have on the wall, belong, believe, become. Jesus invited and joined this man to himself. That came first. And then came the belief, then came the becoming. As Jesus tried to send him off to offer a testimony in the good old-fashioned way, to demonstrate that he was clean, to demonstrate that he was could be part of the community again, to demonstrate that he could go to the temple, that he could hear the words he hadn't heard in so long, that he was right with God. But instead, this man who's given this gift of belonging, this gift of love, and this healing, goes out talking freely. His words don't have to be unclean anymore. He starts spreading the news. Now that news might have, I think, certainly included his testimony, certainly included his encounter with Jesus. But Mark's gospel is very focused on the fact that the gospel, the good news, has to do with the coming of Jesus. And as we go through this Christmas season, as we continue through Mark, as we continue to worship and reflect that God took on flesh and came into our messy, unclean, broken world, that is the news we've been entrusted with. To carry, to take forward. Yeah, we all got a testimony, and we all should be sharing that. Our encounters with Jesus are powerful stories. But let's never lose sight of the fact that the news we have to carry is that hope has come. God was born and took on everything because he was willing. Because he loved us, to make us clean, to make us new, to make us loved. Imagine if we could be spreading the news so effectively that we would not have enough room in all the church buildings in Ambridge. That we'd have to go start gathering up in the park just for there to be enough room. It's what happened from this leper's testimony. Jesus couldn't fit into towns anymore. He had to go to the desolate places. The desolate places where he used to just be with his father. Now the whole crowd, the whole people come out to that place to be with Jesus. To be with his father. So friends, let's take the news. Let's realize not only do we have a God who is willing, but a God who is loving, a God who has touched us. And made us new. And let's go to him outside the walls. Let's drag the crowd. Because the work of Jesus is not done. The work of the kingdom is not done. And oh, do we need him to come. So Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive us the times when we are not sure if you're willing. Lord, forgive the weakness of our faith when we lose track of how deeply you love your creation. That you would do more than just speak a word, but you would reach out and touch us and make us new. So Lord, do that. Give us grace, Lord, to spread the news, to be your body so that those who need a touch from you, those who need to be shown your love, would receive it, would hear it, and would come flocking to you. Lord, renew us in this Christmas season. Even as this weary world goes on, Lord, show all of us the reason for rejoicing. And let your kingdom grow here in Ambridge and to the ends of the earth, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.